Welcome to Around the Wheel. In this episode, we're chatting with Jared Maxfield, who, although he's a Patreon supporter, which is how he made the drawing, he's also the newest owner of Jesse Luggage. So I'm really excited to talk to Jared because I love when guests bring more to the table than I do. And I'm really excited about this. How long have you had Jesse Luggage now? When did you pick that up?
We purchased the company in March of 2020. So it was the absolute perfect time to buy and start a business with what's gone on.
That is a heck of a time to try to get into the business. Now, what I'm really excited about is panniers are always a major discussion for any rider. You know, I've done some videos in the past when I was doing the Motor Trek stuff. I have a plan next summer to do a remake of that with some new information. And the industry is a changing industry. There's a reason I remake videos, but you're right in the middle of that changing industry, not just with COVID, but just the fact that when I got into this, everything was a hard pannier and things have changed now. How are you dealing with that being an American manufactured hard luggage and that's what you're known for?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. When we got into this business, we'd been in other industries before. We've participated in this industry and I have extended family in the motorsports industry, so I'd been around it a little bit. With the hard panniers, we came into it a little bit unknowing of what we were getting ourselves into. When we sat down after the first few months and looked at what was going on, I told my dad and my brother are my partners, and I told them, I said, look, the industry's moved. Jesse has a really strong reputation. We have customers that have owned the product for lots and lots of years, but in the past few years, there's been a small decline or stagnant where I don't know if Jesse's been in the open or as advertised as it should be. That's the hurdle I feel like we've tried to tackle the best this year, is trying to get Jesse back in that conversation with the Moscomotos and the Wolfmans and the other manufacturers that are in our feeds, in our social feeds, on our ADV Rider feeds and stuff like that. So that's been probably the number one takeaway that we've had in 2020, is that we make a really good product. People love our stuff. It lasts a long time. But how do we get it back in front of them the way it should be in the new marketing models of today?
What it used to be was just, what kind of hard luggage do you want? When Jesse Luggage first started, they were kind of the corner of the market. There wasn't a lot of aluminum panniers or competition out there. And then as StuarTech came in, as the manufacturers and OEMs came in, that market grew. And of course, in recent years, and people who know me know that I've supported and been a proponent of softer luggage, things that don't bounce off of stuff as much. But I'm also a firm believer in hard luggage. There's a place and time for everything. And you know, when I did South America, my F800GS was equipped with Jesse Luggage. It was the perfect product and bag for that particular trip. And another trip I did Africa, and I was using the Moscomoto stuff. I use both. I change back and forth based on the needs, the ride, what I'm doing, what level of security I want, how much stuff I'm carrying with me, how convenient I want it. Is it primarily a road trip or is it a dirt trip? And I think from your perspective, there's a lot more competition in the hard luggage category. And so many riders have gone from hard panniers to soft panniers, or they've gone and done what I recommend, which is to have a combination. That way, when I go out and I know I'm going to be falling down, I throw soft panniers on. When I'm doing touring, commuting, grocery shopping, if I'm doing a lot of international stuff where a security is something of concern, then I run the hard panniers. So how are you planning on tackling that market? How are you planning on getting that back?
Well, fortunately for us, the previous owner, Sean Derivan, he took off from what Al had started on a soft luggage adapter plate. We've really had a good crowd, primarily, I would say, on the KTM end. Our KTM rack for the 1011 1290s, they fit really well on that bike, really narrow, really tight. And those guys generally have the mentality of a harder, aggressive ride and adventure. And they'll take our rack and use our soft luggage adapter plate and mount, most of the time it's a Moscomoto bag because the holes in our plate match up with the back plate of the Moscomoto 35 backcountry bag. you'll see them ride with the adapter plate. And some of those guys, I can't give you a percentage or a number, but they will even ride with hard bags and swap them, like you just said. They'll be able to do both, and that gives our customer a good soft and hard option. So taking that step a step farther, and we've had our engineer look at that plate, and we've made it so that we can adapt to more of the manufacturers. Specifically, we've looked at the Wolfman, the Enduristan, the Giant Loop, the Moscow, of course, and I think those were the primary ones we kind of targeted. But there's enough holes in our little adapter plate now that you should be able to mount whatever soft bag you're looking to mount on our adapter plate if that's the route you wanted to go.
My old 2008 GS, the one that most people recognize me on, that one had the regular hard pans. And one of the things I love about the Jesse luggage is just they're the narrowest of the hard luggage with the greatest volume. It's a great product that way. And I wanted that really narrow rack. The wider you are, here we go out and we fight to get narrower bikes, smaller bikes, so we can go places. Then we have these massive boxes hanging off the back of the bike. And that always annoyed me. But with the 1200, I was able to easily mount the Moscow pucks onto that. I just took off the rubber bumpers and then mounted the pucks straight up, and everything was good to go. I was lucky enough to have seen years ago that Jesse had made a lowering kit for the exhaust in the 1200. So you could drop the exhaust and really maximize the luggage on both sides, which I thought was fantastic. And that also allowed me to mount the Moscow Moto bags so they were equal on both sides and there wasn't an offset, which was really super cool. But what's most frustrating for me was the fact that your bags only go one way. I mean, I have to have your luggage mounts, your mount system, and then your bags. And then I have to hope that my soft panniers mount up to that rack. And you have a solution to that. Aren't you making some changes?
The new hard pannier Challenger bag versus the old Odyssey bag, it is a interchangeable. So if you bought a BMW 1200 and the pipe is on, I think it's on the right side, your new bike in the future, the pipe is on the left side, you don't have to go out and buy a whole new set of panniers. You just flop them around. You probably have to buy the new rack to match the bike. But we have solved that solution and made the offset in the pipe side interchangeable.
So it's working with that standard oval, that rectangle that is so common. That's what's mounting to that now?
Yeah. I know you've talked about that big chamfer on the old Odyssey bag being a part of the reason you liked it, and it's a safer feature because it gives some room for the foot. We did take that into consideration, and there still is a chamfer. It is a smaller chamfer. And so that was a pro and a con we had to weigh. You know, our bags have been known to last 15, 20 years in some cases. And if it's lasting that long, you want to be able to move it from bike to bike, because typically we don't have our bikes last that long.
You know, I did that when I had my Tiger 800. I was able to take those same panniers, and Christina had damaged one, so I took one pannier off her old BMW, and those same panniers had moved over to another bike that we had picked up. And you're right, it's nice to keep those, because panniers they're a significant investment, whether they're soft panniers or the hard panniers. And as you just brought out, one of the advantages to a hard pannier is, unless you damage them, they really don't wear out, where the soft panniers, at some point, that material, the UV, the dust, the dirt, the mud, at some point, it just takes its toll and you end up needing to replace or update your panniers.
Yeah. And we wanted to try and eliminate that. And the other thing I'd like to say, Brett, is we understand that the end users all have specific goals or criteria that they like to meet. And we're adventurers too. I understand it. I know that not everybody's going to like my product. I'll be completely honest. There's some parts of my product that I don't even like. I went on a ride with a friend a few weeks ago down to the border of Mexico and Arizona. And I took on my KTM 790, I rode with just my top box, my 45 liter top box. And then I used a soft duffel bag on the back seat because we were going to be doing some harder riding, and I didn't want to have my hard panniers on the back of there flopping around and banging against the rocks.
As you mentioned, you're an adventure rider as well. And you had mentioned before that, because we've talked a couple of times, that you had a bunch of other products that you were you're passionate, you know, and that's what's really neat about this industry. When I go down to Moscow Moto, which is fairly local to me, they're riders, they're local, they're a small company. You're a small company, you're local, you build your product here in the States, which I mentioned that before. I just think that's just so cool. It's so hard to find anything built in the US anymore, and especially something that's price competitive. But having that passion behind what you do certainly helps you see the flaws and see the places to improve, and recognizing that, yeah, hard panniers have their place, and certainly they're convenient. There's so many reasons to own them, but they're not always the right choice. And right. Adapting to the current industry, to the needs of the riders, that's really cool to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I know lots of people that will only ride their product, and not just the owners of those companies, but people who are swear by certain brands will live those brands almost to their inconvenience or detriment sometimes throughout their process or adventure, whatever they're doing. We, as a new Jesse ownership group, we don't believe that that should be the case. I mean, if you have a specific need for a soft bag in a certain situation, or I'll even throw out there, we've just made an agreement with Green Chili ADV. They make a bunch of straps and stuff for smaller bikes, and they have some really good solutions. I would say a competitor with like a rock strap.
Now, what are the Green Chili? What makes those so special?
Some of the stuff they have is really good for duffels. They got this little squirrely, I wish I could remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it's like a duffel strap where it cams around the duffel bag in a way like a snake. I think they call it a snake strap now that I'm saying it out loud. I could be wrong. This is a new relationship.
Well, if anybody who's listening to this podcast, we don't script anything on this. We pick a topic and we just kind of go with it. And back to you. Tell me about this whole snake.
So anyway,
snake strap.
They have some good strapping products, soft racks that they use for like enduro style bikes. It would be a light ADV in our kind of realm. Really, why I mention this is that we want to take Jesse Luggage and not just be the Jesse Luggage of old with only the hard pannier. The company that we purchased the Jesse Luggage brand under is called Jesse Adventures. And we truly want to be an adventure resource for the community. And whether that's selling somebody else's product, having an instructional guest like you come to an event, or whatever the case may be, we want to really be a resource to the adventure community and riders, not just the hard pannier brand.
I still want to point out just a couple of things that are really cool about your brand, or at least some of the misconceptions I've heard as a rider. One of the first things that I get asked when somebody sees a set of Jesse Luggage on my bike, and they don't ask this about the Tour Tech, and they didn't ask this about SW Motec, but they ask it about Jesse. They always walk up because they're powder coated. So they're black, or they're that dark gray color. Is they always go, man, those must be really heavy, or I would like to have Jesse Luggage. They're just so heavy. I don't think people realize how heavy these soft pannier systems are, not just the bags you throw over the bike, but the soft pannier systems, and how Jesse Luggage scales against the competition. What is the weight on your bags?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because that is something that I even get quite a bit. It's like, they're strong and whatever, but how much do they weigh? The truth of the matter is they don't weigh that much more, or in some cases, they even weigh less than what you would think from a separate soft bag manufacturer. I did take some notes on the weight factor because I knew that you would probably ask this question. The Moscow Moto 35-liter backcountry setup with the puck and the bag, it weighs, on my scale, it weighed 10.5 pounds. My small 8-inch pannier weighs 13 pounds. So I'm only giving up 2.5 pounds, and I'm gaining, on that one, it's not that much. I'm gaining about 2 liters per set of storage.
That storage size, you can't really look at that for most soft luggage compared to hard luggage. It's not really a one for one, because when you look at a soft luggage, basically that's filling it with water and just short rolling the top.
Yeah.
So when you look at a 35 liter, it's going to be stuffed to the gills, all the straps open to get that 35. So it's not as equal. So you really are getting a lot more space, at least usable space.
I will brag about this feature because I think this is one of the things that really sets me apart from all of the other hard pannier people out there, is the space in our lid is 100% usable space because of the little rack and the little bags that we've designed to put inside our lids. All of those leaders are virtually usable leaders.
What I do on my old GS, and this is something I miss, I'm always worried about moisture getting in the boxes. Obviously, any hard pannier, if you hit it hard enough, there's enough weather, you can get water inside.
Sure.
What I did is those larger panniers you have were large enough to put my laptop. I use an XPS 13, so it's a compact Dell, but I put that XPS 13 in the lid. I put it in the bag with all of its stuff, stuff it in the lid, and put the clamp on it. And on the other side, that's where I put the GoPros and all the other small camera gear. That way, if no matter what, if I get moisture in the box, if worst case scenario, it's fully protected. But also when I stop at a coffee shop or I stop at a hotel and I just want to grab my computer, it's real easy. Pop it open, grab my computer out of the top, close it down, lock the bag, and off I go. And it was definitely one of my favorite features about the Jessica luggage. And no other pannier system has allowed me to do that because of the way they hinge. And because of the way they lock down. And I've had some really nice pannier systems, but definitely nothing has been as convenient as the Jesse luggage. This year, I'm trying out some new luggage. I keep trying new stuff. I'm not very good about being brand loyal. I just like trying different stuff and seeing how things compare. And people ask me all the time opinions of what I think about things. If I don't really put things to the use, I can't give an opinion, good or bad. This year, I'm trying out the Lone Rider panniers. They're kind of a hard, soft pannier kind of a, it's really in the middle between the Moscow bags and what you have. But I put those on the scale and they don't have a quick dismount, which is, they're coming out with one, but I thought that was, when I have to pull my bike through a door to get it into a lobby of a hotel or something, I really like to be able to pull those panniers off, but they were 34 pounds. You know, you're saying you're 26 pounds for your small, and how heavy are your large panniers? Because these are 31 and 38 liters.
I'm glad you brought that up. My 10-inch bags, my 10-inch Challenger bags, they're a 42-liter and a 51-liter, and that's 93, and it only weighs 30 pounds total.
Yeah. I think that's something, if you're listening to this podcast, if you're going through, okay, well, what do I really want? Do I want a hard pannier? Do I want a soft pannier? Punchline is, I think everybody should own both. Whether they go with a rackless system or a puck system that goes on and then a hard panner to go with it. But this is something to keep in mind, especially if you have to make a choice and pick one or the other, is that don't use weight as your deciding factor. First of all, adventure bikes are big, heavy bikes to begin with. A couple of pounds, 1 or 2 pounds on a pannier on the back of the bike is not going to be the difference.
Yes.
in how that bike is. You know, look at safety, look at security, look at convenience, look at the price. And when you do compare price, almost any hard pannier system is going to be more expensive than a soft pannier. It's just metal as opposed to nylon. And that's always a consideration. But also keep in mind that soft pannier systems also have a lifespan. Unless you just put them on the shelf and use them periodically, which I recommend doing. But if you have them on all the time, there's a couple, 2, 3, maybe 4 years out of a system, and you're definitely tossing them and picking up something new. And it is something that you have to consider when you're going, well, what's the best system for me? What do I want on my motorcycle?
Pete at Moscow Moto, in one of his videos, when he started to explain how his product's made, he says, when taking into consideration durability versus weight, durability should always come first. I wholeheartedly believe that there are some more important features than a couple extra pounds on your bike because of the styles of bikes that we're riding. Now, if you're trying to go minimalist and have like a 350 or 400 cc dual sport bike and you're running small soft panniers with a duffel bag on top, then yeah, maybe your weight is a little bit more important than if you're riding the midweight to bigger class ADV bikes.
Here's a question for you, and I don't know the answer because I haven't looked at what you've changed on the luggage system. Everybody kind of has their direction they want to go. Giant Loop, they've been really focusing on the lightweight. Moscow Moto, they really focus on the durability. So those two have different approaches, both good products. And with your panniers, it's really been the quality, the security that's been on top. And again, narrow, maximum volume, minimum width. But when you fall down, that's what we all think of when we're adventuring. What if I tip over? What happens to the bag? Do they have a breakaway? Are they going to bend? Are they going to bust the rack? Do you have any engineer to design fail points that protect the bag with a breakaway, or is it just it's locked on solid?
No, it's pretty much locked on solid. And I might be the best field tester that you could ever want, because I'm 5'6.5", 5'7" with my good shoes on. And I have really, really short legs. So when I climb on my 790 or even my 1200 GS, there's a significant fall ratio that is higher than most people. The good thing about our bags is they will take falls much, much easier than the competitors. Where I found that I've broken our bag the most, obviously the front corner on whatever side you're falling is usually going to take the most impact. I've never dented mine or deformed mine in that area enough to not either pound it or tap it back out, or hydraulic the trick that you taught in that one episode where you got the little car pump and pumped the jack and pumped it out. I've never crashed hard enough to do any damage where I couldn't do that. Where my damage has been done is on the little mounting section in the back where the Delrin kits are. I have bent mine enough where it's twisted the box, and nothing where it's not usable. The one time I did it, it didn't sit on the bike quite right. So I had to adjust my Delrin when I got home after that adventure and do some manipulating that way. But the way that our Delrin kit fits on those hoops and the way that our hoops are designed, this is something nobody else has too. The way our Delrin kit sets up, you can slide that bag forward and back according to how you want the weight on the bike. Sometimes when people have passengers, they'll slide that pannier all the way back so that the passenger can have more room on their foot peg.
So if anybody's listening to this, let me explain what he's talking about, because I have used these and Christina uses them. The way his panniers work is they sit on a rail. There's a lower rail. The pannier itself rests on top of it. It has like a C-clip that hooks on it, and it slides forward and back. The way it locks into position is on the very top rail, it has a, I don't know, what do you call that lock?
The Delrin is the block, and the stainless steel clamp is what matches it to the Delrin.
Yeah, so then, there's a clamp that rotates on the top, and so you can slide it forward or back on this lower rail. We've done that with Christina's bike on her F800 GS on the older style bags. We can slide them forward or back, and if you want to know a tester, that's Christina. We sat down in Panama, and she had hammered her bike so bad. I mean, she had fallen down so many times, and I took the bag, it was kind of skewed and off square, and put it up against a big lamppost and took a big hammer and a big chunk of wood and just spent about 30 minutes just hitting it as hard as I could to get it to square back up. When it was done, we put it back on the bike, locked everything down, and off we went, and she was still waterproof. It was a lot of work to get it back to square, but it squared right back up.
That's not the first time I've heard a story like that. I mean, one of the videos that's on YouTube about our stuff, there's a brother that's standing on top of his motorcycle, and he's just kicking the crap out of the bag, trying to get it to go back to square so that they can shut it. And the other brother's holding the bike up so he doesn't fall. I mean, I don't recommend that, but that's a pretty good testimonial how tough our bags are and what you could possibly do to not have a really horrible situation in some of those cases.
For me, some of the panniers are riveted. If they get deformed, you can kind of hammer them back in and then try to seal them back up and re-rivet. And yours are fully welded. Every crease is welded.
Fully welded on both sides. They're welded on the inside for strength, and they're welded on the outside to fill in that seam and then sanded down so that they have that finished look on the outside.
If anybody could even come up with a flaw and say, well, this is the weak point of that bag, it's really a catch-22, because on one side, it is the stiffest, most rigid bag on the market. Of everything I've ever seen, ever used, it is number one. On the other hand, if you happen to plow it into the ground hard enough to bend it, it is the stiffest, hardest bag of any bag on the market. Getting it back to square is certainly a chore. And the other way, I've done this on another bag, somebody had bent one, and we put the bag diagonal between a concrete wall and a bumper of a car. And we used the car to square the bag. I mean, that's how much pressure it took to get this back to square. But also, we were able to pull all the racks off the bike, square up all the racks, because they're all steel. Even if you have a failure, you can re-weld them, which I really like steel, because it's so easy to find some place to do that kind of repair. So the steel racks paired with aluminum panniers for weight and convenience just seems like a really good combination. And it's a common combination. It's not something yeah. that's out crazy there. It works best. It always has. And that's the standard. That's what everybody does. Well, we're kind of rounding up here towards the end of the podcast. And I just want to give you a last chance to throw out there. Is there anything that you would like to share with the listeners on what they should be looking for if they're looking for luggage? I know you're not hard and sold on one thing. What's your recommendation to people listening?
Well, I recommend that you buy the luggage that fits the way you ride. A perfect example of that is I ride way more dirt than my brother. My brother is a perfect customer of what a Jesse luggage customer would be. He rides touring in the mountains, some groomed-ish dirt roads, and that hard pannier is a beautiful system because it's large, it's lightweight, relatively speaking. So I would say make sure you know what kind of rider you are when deciding to spend your money, because whether you spend your money with me or with Moscow or Duristan or Wolfman or any of these other guys, whoever you spend it with, you need to spend it in the style of riding that fits you. You know, I'm not going to be offended if you're a light ADV enduro guy and you want a set of Wolfman E12 bags or Enduristan Blizzard bags, and that's awesome. I'll go ride with you. I'll ride other people's products. I know that's something that a lot of owners of companies try not to do, but I rock a Moscomoto Nomad tank bag because it fit my need the best. You know, moving forward, I just hope that people think about Jesse. We've made a lot of changes for 2021, totally looking to become Jesse ADV more so than just the Jesse luggage in the hard pannier arena. I thank all of our customers that buy our product and use our product. They're pretty loyal customers. I mean, I get calls. People are still asking for Al, even though he's not with the company anymore. And that just shows how long and durable our product has been for these people. You know, I love when they rave about it, the stories with the car. I mean, that's not the first time I've heard stuff like that. I get that all the time. And it makes us feel good that we're putting out a really good product made in the USA, which is hard to do. The pieces that we buy are expensive and they cost a lot to put together and have machined. And, you know, we take a little bit of pride in that and love that we can provide that service for our community.
I don't think I really have anything to add. Find what works for you. Find a good quality brand. Find a company that will stand behind their product and enjoy the ride. And I commend you for being willing to really just say, look, I use what works for me, whether it's my product or not. And if I don't have that product, then I'm going to work to make that product. And I think that's what you were alluding to earlier about adding more products to your line, whether they're made in-house or whether you're selling those as a secondary or creating products to support those, becoming universal where your bags will fit on other luggage systems, the standard oval. I think that's a wonderful thing that you're doing. And again, I commend you for doing that. By the way, Jared, thanks again for supporting me on Patreon for the podcast and for the videos I do. I do the drawings. I do them random. Your name came up random out of all those supporters and in your support level. I learned a lot, mostly just the weight difference. I'm amazed how a lot of these pannier systems, soft pannier systems, are becoming equal to or heavier than the aluminum panniers. It's not a consideration anymore. And I'm looking forward to next summer when I can do a head-to-head with several different products again and see how everything holds up with what's out there now.
Thank you, Brett. I love listening to your stuff. You're the type of rider that I would love to go ride with and enjoy spending time with, because I know that we share similar views just from all of the content that I've seen from you, and appreciate the time to have this chat. And if people are listening to this, send me an email at the info@jesseluggage.com with the secret sale for Brett Tack's podcast, however you want to word that in the subject of the email. I'll give you a 10% discount on our product. I'll put a deadline on, say, the end of January.
Wonderful. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Around the Wheel with Brett Tax and Jared Maxfield from Jesse Luggage. Until next time, always smile while you ride, because attitude matters. And when you're wet, when you're cold, when you're stuck, when you're trying to pick your bike up for the 15th time that day, just remember, you're the one that chose to do it. If your attitude goes downhill, it only gets worse from there. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, goodbye.